if we kind of want to replace those antibiotic growth promoters with something alternative, then first we have to understand, like, what were those growth promoters been doing inside the gut? Like, how were those controlling different microbes, or how were those influencing the host response or the bird response? So to understand those stuff, like, the multiomics are very important, because these are the techniques which will help us understand, okay, so what was the actual mechanism? And if you want to replace those mechanisms, then what can be the alternative ways or the treatments or methods to replace those mechanisms? And I think so it will also be helping us to moving forward, like, from the treatment approach to the preventive approach, because we would be able to detect the diseases or inflammation and other stuff very early on, and can timely act on those signals, and can improve the bird performance before it gets too much worse.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. Kemen invites you to optimize poultry health and nutrition. Dive in at kemen.com/poultry. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we discuss the latest in poultry nutrition research and industry trends in approximately 10 minutes. My name is Sam Rochel. I'm an associate professor of poultry nutrition here at Auburn University and a co-host of the show. And happy to be joined today by a colleague in our department who I've worked with throughout his time here at Auburn, Dr. Waqar Tabish, who is a recent PhD graduate and transitioning into a full-time role in our department, and someone who I've learned a lot from working with over the years, too, as you're going to hear today, is kind of an expert in the molecular and the omic side, and really kind of on the cutting edge of that. So I think it'll be a good conversation for a lot of our audience. So how are you, Waqar?
I'm good. Thank you so much, Dr. Rochel, for inviting and for the opportunity. I'm very happy to be here.
Absolutely. So the big topic for the day is omics. And so we have a lot of poultry nutritionists here who, you know, aren't trained at that level and in that type of work. So just from a very high level, when people talk about omics, I won't say it's a buzzword because it's been around for long enough now where it's kind of standard scientific terminology. But when people are discussing omics, what approaches are they taking to look at, say, nutritional or other types of research?
So the omics is like, these are the very big, large biological data sets, and there are different omics, which are also, we call omics, like genomics and transcriptomics, metabolomics, and proteomics. So these are multiple different layers of biological information, and these are very large scale data sets, which can give us the molecular insights. So in the nutritional world, like most of the studies which we do look into the production efficiencies of our birds, like FCRs and weight gains and mortalities and body compositions, and through different treatments and stuff. But what does the multi-omics tell us is like the actual molecular background of those changes which are happening. Like, if you are seeing an increase in the production, then what is the actual reason? Like, what is the biological response or the bird's response by which it's showing us that increased productivity? So in order, so otherwise, like, it's a puzzle, like a black box. So you are giving an input, and then you are receiving an output from the birds. But if you want to really understand, like, what's actually happening at the molecular and biological level, how does the bird is processing the treatment or the nutritional supplement which you are giving it to them, then, like, that's where the multiomics come in. So it helps us dissect all those layers and understand how does the birds actually performing or, like, reacting to our treatments. So I think so that's the cool stuff about multiomics.
Absolutely. And so, you know, you've become very skilled. I've seen firsthand you're very good on a lot of this. Being able to make sense of these big data sets ultimately comes down to data visualization. That's something I've learned is, you know, really being able, and you do a great job at that. So can you just kind of, you know, give us a brief background on the actual experiments you've done applying these multi-omics, say, looking at your recent work with necrotic enteritis, coccidiosis, which are intestinal health diseases, very relevant for poultry nutritionists.
So, yes, I work with necrotic enteritis and coccidiosis, and we know like the incidence of these diseases has been increased after the restrictions on the use of antimicrobial growth promoters. And now a lot of people are kind of looking into the nutritional alternatives, like if we can change certain ingredients or the composition or alternative dietary ingredients, and we can add it to the feed and can help reduce the incidence of these diseases. So that these were my experiments. So we looked into the calcium concentrations and the limestone particle sizes to see if by slightly reducing the calcium concentration into the poultry diet, if it can help reduce the incidence and severity of the necrotic enteritis and also the particle size of the limestone. Then we also looked into the fiber supplementation. We looked at the soluble and insoluble fibers and the combinations to see how does these can reduce the severity of disease. And then we examined these like with the lens of multi-omics. We looked into the microbiome and transcriptome to see when we give these nutritional treatments to the birds, how does this change the bacterial composition into the gut? Because that's the main thing. These diseases originate from the gut and because of the disturbance into the bacterial composition. So we looked at how does the disease change the microbial composition, and how does our treatments are trying to restore, like to what extent our treatments are restoring that imbalance. And within the transcriptome, you can look into the bird's response, like how is the bird responding to that treatment, like either it's increasing the inflammatory response or decreasing the inflammatory response or some nutrient transporters. So these were the overall overview of the research which I did in my PhD.
Yeah, it's very interesting work. And, you know, this is something that nutritionists are very familiar with, the impact of calcium. And although it's an essential nutrient, we've learned over the years that, you know, feeding too much is generally a bad thing in relation to phosphorus. And so, you know, we've kind of seen a trend to reduce calcium and at least be more accurate in how close the calcium we think is going into the diet actually matches what's in the diet. So I think that's something that a lot of people will be interested in. Can you give us just and again, I know you measured a lot of different things and analyzed these data in a lot of way. In general, could you give us just the overall trend and how calcium level and also limestone particle size kind of move the needle? And if I remember correctly, we talk about limestone particle sizes here. You're talking about the same limestone source, same calcium source that was ground to different sizes. So it's not confounded by the source of the calcium, correct?
We looked at different calcium concentrations. So actually, we reduced the calcium concentrations from the standard concentration, which is used in the industry, to see kind of like if we reduce the concentration, does it do a beneficial effect on the gut and can help us reduce the severity of the disease. So what happened, like based on my data, which I've seen, is like at the optimal calcium concentration, if you reduce it a little bit, like 10-point reduction, so then it does beneficial. So it helps the bird to mount the immune response against the disease. And simultaneously, I've seen certain pathways and genes which were related to the epithelial repair and gut integrity. So those were upregulated, means like bird was also fighting the disease and also trying to repair the damage which been done. But when you when we reduced it 20 points, like severe reduction, then these things, like these pathways, become compromised. And then bird couldn't fight the infection as it was doing before. So I think We can, because like there's a lot of talk about reducing the calcium concentration can help reduce the severity of necrotic enteritis, but I think so it's just up to a little extent, but if we reduce it very severely, then it can affect the other biological functions. So also the particle size, like usually, so what we tested particle size was around 200 and 900 micrometers particle sizes. And I think so the particle size does have an effect on the physiochemical characteristic of the calcium when it goes into the gut and then solubility and other things. But I think so in order to see the actual effect of the particle size, there should be a bigger gap. Like if like you're going to use a coarse particle size, I think so more than 1,000 micrometer would be beneficial. To see the kind of difference, if there is a difference in the fine or the coarse particle size.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your poultry operation to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Fortishell and Vitasy Feedlock, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in poultry production. From shell quality to feed biosecurity and more, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. So ultimately, you know, to distill it down, I mean, you saw the response in kind of a dose response. You didn't really analyze it that way, but in general, we have the target level. And then you reduce, see some benefits, reduce a little bit further, and we start to maybe get into the issue where we went too far on the reduction. And so that was a very interesting response that you determined there. So very interesting work. And again, applied to a very practical problem, even though you're using, you know, the kind of the newer approach to analyze these type of data. This is a good case study for using omics for a practical situation, but where do you see this going, say, 5-10 years from now? Do you think this is really going to change poultry nutrition and how we think about things?
Yes, I think so. It will have a bigger impact because right now it's just the starting of the multi-omics, and it's also kind of expensive at this point. But as with the years, like now the technology is evolving and everything is getting cheaper and cheaper. So there will be more and easier access to these multi-omics tools into the poultry production. Like these will help us into the identifying different biomarkers, which can be used in some diagnostic kits, which will be accessible at the farm level. And also like, I think it's very important in the upcoming time because now we know like the poultry production will keep on increasing and we have to support the optimal production of the birds. And the bird has like very good genetics. Now what we have to do is to support the genetics so that we can harness the maximum potential of that bird. And I think so the most important organ in the broiler or chicken is its gut. So if we can support the gut, if we can understand its gut and can harness its maximum potential and can prevent any inflammatory response conditions in the gut, so we can get the maximum productivity. And also like we know previously, we removed the antimicrobial growth promoters from the birds and we see a larger problems. But if we kind of want to replace those antibiotic growth promoters with something alternative, then first we have to understand like what were those growth promoters been doing inside the gut, like how were those controlling different microbes or how were those influencing the host response or the bird response. So to understand those stuff, like the multi-omics are very important because these are the techniques which will help us understand, okay, so what was the actual mechanism? And if you want to replace those mechanisms, then what can be the alternative ways or the treatments or methods to replace those mechanisms? And I think so it will also be helping us to moving forward, like from the treatment approach to the preventive approach, because we would be able to detect the diseases or inflammation and other stuff very early on and can timely act on those signals and can improve the bird performance before it gets too much worse.
Oh, very good. So I think you hit on a lot of important things there. I really like your point about, you know, the gut and supporting the gut is really the interface between the feed efficiency and the overall performance and the biological health of the bird. So I totally agree on that, and more to learn. And basically, you know, as you mentioned, as we learn more, there's more questions, they get more complex, and it takes more complex tools to arrive at meaningful answers. So I really appreciate what you're doing in this, and I know people are going to continue to watch for publications. You should be getting out for everyone to learn more about the details on this over the next probably a couple of years. So thanks for all you're doing on this and joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rochelle.
Thanks to all the listeners today. And if you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe on your favorite podcast, and we will catch you on the next one. Thank you.